Running. Cafe curtains top the list. Keep out family inside the plans to stay for longer than the end of the month, but curtains stay at the top of the list ahead of shoes, bicycles, a new iron, and all-you-can-eat shrimp dinner for you and the three of them asleep down the hall, knowing that when they wake, you'll be making cereal and lunches, and you're awake with a glass of Chablis and two puffs off the joint your friend rolled for you to have for this night when you will dream of a river to cross. Rushing muddy water, a baby aloft over your head, using up your arms so that you can't swim, and you go down once, go down twice, and this is one of those going down dreams that return like checks marked insufficient funds before payday, before Saturday night, when you have 12 hours to come off being mom, the willing worker who's never on time, the not bad looking single lady in a who do you think you are neighborhood of doubles, husband and wife, two jobs, two cars, two children, two bikes, two aunts who can come, two bodies warming each other for years, can I get a witness, and you have 12 hours in a model condo with his classical and jazz, his California wines, well-appointed body, and your unconnected fantasies of how next time when you reach dry land, you will run. Deja vu. Like a yellow flag, my mind plants a signpost for itself. A revision of something I've never seen, the re-seeing of a scene I never wrote. Here it is again, Soweto. Women walking on a road, bodies shaped in angles that hold a three-sided fury with gnarled hair, slender shadows whose reappearance could give me the chance to rewrite my descriptive passages of the corpses they bear, the blood they wring from their skirts. As if clairvoyance were a gift, I've been given the second sight of girls, boys, silhouette against a cassava moon, slipping past a gatekeeper into cliché, thousands dead or missing. And living is a sending out of moments. That is the gift. Each must come back in déjà vu like a pod on a bough of the ackee fruit tree, opening in its time, round with delight or venom. Penmanship. Cursive writing separated us from the little kids that year, promised us we would be flourishes of gold ink on a white bond expanse of future. Letters flowed into one another like jacks, bangs, secrets, and banana caramels spelling out girlfriends. Then Norma's mother died, draped in a navy blue sheet, put into a black Mariah, lured into a hole. We went away searching for Norma's mistake, one something more fleeting than Orpheus's backward glance that set this thing in motion. We sensed it then, like a teacher with a final word, it would stand stark, guiding our lives as we made ovals, strokes, loops, and slants, each of us outlining one unknowable letter in the endless alphabet. Lone lily beside the road. It must have been a city wind came rasping through seams in sleep's window, calling her name, telling her to kiss the face that rose in the pyre of years raked to a pile and lit. Kiss the face of the old woman who taught the old religions, cleaning, cooking, washing. Watching the starch pot boil once upon June days, waiting to pour bluing in, Pearl talked about dyeing her hair. Never talked of leaving, never said she wanted cities that hummed, just flipped to that chapter, ripped out her life and was gone, to the dogs, to better days, a postmark, a thin circle around a snapshot red-headed woman, gone to hell, gone to Jesus. Now her amazed tongue sang resurrection, a homing song, and when those summers rushed to greet her like great aunts claiming their own, home hit irretrievable as the wrinkled face gone and the sagging jaws of house and barn all smoothed, paved flat into a curve of I-35 where she stands, a wild, flaming sultriness among witnesses, the enduring weeds. In their reedy throats they whisper, where are you gonna run to?